Wednesday night, and then again a reminder to pray for those that aren't able to get out. Remember to pray for those that are traveling too over the holiday. Edwin will be going back home on Tuesday, and no doubt many other students will be going home for the holiday, and there'll be a lot of travel, so some of us will be traveling too. So we want to pray for safety on the highways as well. And so we'll just speak to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we can sing these hymns about a Savior and about the goodness of God, and how thankful we should be for all the blessings that he has given to us. Again, we're thankful that he gave his only Son, the greatest gift that could ever be given. God gave his only begotten Son to come into the world. And we're thankful that that message goes forth, that whosoever believes in him will be saved. And we know that it's God's desire that all come to a knowledge of the truth and come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So we pray again today for the word of God as it goes forth in so many places, that people might hear the clear message of the gospel and realize that as a sinner they need a Savior. And we're thankful that the Lord Jesus, it's his desire to save. He came into the world to save sinners. And we're thankful that that offer still goes forth today, that whosoever will may come. And so again today we pray for a blessing on your word as it goes forth. We pray for our meeting here today, and encourage us as we hear your word once again today. And again, we pray for those that aren't able to be with us. We think of the Spence family. They usually are here. They're not here today. And others, we think of Wilson. He's not here. Pray for him. And again, those that we have mentioned already for prayer, we just commend them to thee and ask for your blessing on our time together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, I'd like to read, first of all, in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, reading at verse 1, I think. Yeah, I think Acts chapter 16, verse 1. This is Paul on a missionary journey. Then he came, verse 1, then he, that's Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region, for they knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders of Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So this is where we first read about Timothy, the young man Timothy. Then look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just to get some background on Timothy. And Paul writing to Timothy, he says in verse 3, I thank God, who I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. I greatly desire to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance your genuine faith, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling according to our works, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So, Paul first met Timothy there in Derbe and Lystra, where he had gone on a missionary journey, and it mentions his mother and grandmother, and or his mother there. His mother was a Jew, but his father was a Greek, and so. But Timothy, as a young man, was a serious follower of the Lord, and Paul recognized that, and he took him with him on his missionary journey. And then here in 2 Timothy, we read the influence that was very influential on the life of Timothy. He said, "I remember the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I am persuaded in you also." And this always reminds me of my own grandmother. And many of us, what a blessing it is to have grandmothers and mothers that are Christians, that can tell us about the Lord, and we can follow their faith. My own grandmother, and I don't think any of you knew her, but she was knew my mother, but my grandmother was a great lady, and she grew up, grew up in Ireland. She came here, she was 18 years old, and was married. Her husband passed away of a heart attack on his 59th birthday, so she really didn't have much. She worked for a little while at Cheney Mills in Manchester, and she didn't have much of this world's goods, but boy, what a Christian she was. She, I think in my early, you mostly knew my mother, but my grandmother, I think in my early years, had more influence on my life than my mother did. Probably through elementary school, was when maybe seventh and eighth grade, when my mother kind of, that role kind of reversed, and my mother was more influential in my life. But my grandmother, she was a great lady, and she was a great Christian who read the Bible. She didn't have a great education, and but she read the Bible every day. She read it in the morning. She had a routine. She had two people that she called every day, or I think almost every day. One was Mrs. Marr. Some of you here know Charlie Marr. Well, his wife, Seal, and my grandmother, they talked together every day, and Mrs. Marr would say, "Jenny, where'd you glean today?" And my grandmother would tell her, you know. And then there was another family, friends of ours, that they had a retarded daughter, Harriet. My grandmother called her every morning, and they sang together, "Jesus Loves Me," on the phone. And, you know, my grandmother never forgot that. She, even when she, her mind was practically gone, she was up at the Crestfield Nursing Home. She taught the nurse, a couple of the nurses, that course, "Jesus Loves Me." And you know, the time came when they had to teach her, they had to sing it with her. "Come on, Jenny, let's sing 'Jesus Loves Me.'" And when they sang it, she remembered the words. But she was a real wonderful woman. And all my friends, my school friends, they knew her, and they liked her because she was good to them. But she was still very faithful to the gospel. She reminded them they needed a Savior. And you know, we had those days you had milkmen and bread men and egg men and everything. We had an egg man, Mr. Ford, that used to come. And the time came when my grandma was getting a little forgetful, and she always kept her money up in the cabinet in a little tea pitcher, and he would go and get it. And he wouldn't dare cheat her, but she would, every time she went to that, she'd say, "Now don't cheat me." And he didn't. But so my grandmother was a wonderful lady, and she came here with nothing. And you know, when she left Ireland, and I think I maybe told you this, that she was saved when she was young, but she got the time when she wanted to be baptized, and her father said, "If you get baptized, I'll disown you." And that's when she came to this country and got married to my grandfather, who I don't remember much about him because I was only 4 or 5 years old when he passed away, but my grandmother was a great influence, and it's wonderful to have a family like that. And you know, some of you don't, and if you don't, now's the time to start, mothers and grandmothers, to start teaching your children these things. And it was valuable for me, and as I say, most of you knew my mother, you knew how she was a great influence on my life as well. My father was too, but I think when you're young, it's the mother and grandmother that has more of an influence. So that was the case with Timothy. He had that influence in his life, and Paul recognized it, and he knew them. No doubt they were saved through the ministry of the Apostle Paul there early in those early visits on his missionary trips. But anyway, Paul had a great affection to Timothy. He was a young man, and this is one of those instances where we have two together. You know, I was thinking some of the others, Moses and Aaron, and Elijah and David and Jonathan, and here Paul and Timothy. Was, I guess first it was like Paul and Silas when Paul first was converted. He was accompanied by Silas, and then but now it's Timothy, and he took Timothy with him. And we just like to look at some of the things he reminded Timothy of. Look at chapter 1 and verse 18 here. We read one of the things there, and I'll not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, but it's on verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 8. Therefore, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So he's telling Timothy to persevere and to have courage. But we want to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, and that's verse 18. Second Timothy. Second Timothy to Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. Paul says to Timothy, This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might wage a good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, but have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So here, first thing we notice is he talks about Timothy and his perseverance. He says, I charge you to Timothy according to the prophecies concerning that by them that you wage a good warfare. And Paul knew that it was a real battle to be a Christian and to seek to tell others about the Lord. And he knew that from his life, and Timothy certainly had experienced some of that with him, no doubt. And so he encourages Timothy to persevere, keep on going, don't give up. And even though, because it was a what we read in 2 Timothy, he was saved and called to be a servant of the Lord. He saved us and called us with a holy calling. And that was the calling that we know way back in the early life of Paul. That was his calling. God, when he saved him, Paul could say, I'm the chief of sinners because he persecuted the Christians, but God stopped him on that path, didn't he? He stopped him on the road to Damascus, and Paul could say, who are you, Lord? And I'm Jesus, he said, whom you persecute. And Paul said, what should I do? And he, you know how he went, and Ananias took him and instructed him, and he was blind for a while, and when he got his sight back, he realized that he was a chosen vessel. God said, you're a chosen vessel. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to bring the message of the gospel, important ministry. And so that's what Paul engaged Timothy to do with him, to bring the gospel to these various places, and also to, when there was a church there, to instruct them and teach them the ways of the Lord. So that's why he left them at Ephesus. We'll see that later on. But then look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up in glory. So there's a little synopsis of the life of the Lord. He said God was manifest in the flesh, that was his incarnation, and then he was justified in the spirit. Remember when the dove came down on him at his baptism, he was seen by angels, and he preached among the Gentiles, and then he was believed on in the world and finally received up to glory. But Paul says to Timothy, you got to watch your behavior in the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the church, the early church. And Paul reminded Timothy that if he's going to be a spokesman for the Lord, his behavior has to be consistent with that faith. And so these are some of the things that Paul taught Timothy, your behavior in the house of God, because, you know, people would be watching him. You know, they watched Paul and those that were with him, and they sought every chance to criticize him and to find fault with him, but they really couldn't. It's just like the Lord. Remember, they brought false testimony against him, but he never did anything wrong. And Paul was like that. Paul was a faithful man, and he taught Timothy to be faithful and to be careful how he conducted himself, because people were watching him, looking to trip him up. And so that's the next thing he reminded him about, his behavior. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. These things commit and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's quite a list there, isn't it? And be an example. And Paul was a young man, but still he could be an example to the Christians in those early churches that he was involved with. And he said, you have to be careful, Timothy, and if you want to be an example in what you say and in what you do, your conduct, and in love, you have to love them, and so that they can see that you love them and know that when you get after them, it's because you love them. It's not because you're trying to find fault with them, and in spirit and in faith and in purity. And then he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation to the doctrine, and do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, that with the laying on of hands of the presbytery, Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your progress may be evident to all. The King James says, I forget what it says, but it's not progress. It's another word that the King James uses for that. He reminded them about the importance of the Word of God and his life, and to not only read it but to meditate on it, and give yourself wholly to them. And that was, I guess, we always go back to David in Psalm 1. He meditated on the Word of God, and it was a blessing to him. And then look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 21. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice. Do nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourselves pure, and then so on. So here we find Paul reminds Timothy, if he's going to be a good servant of the Lord, he has to be impartial. Can't have favorites. And remember, that was the problem in Corinth. One of the problems in Corinth, some followed this man, some followed another man, and Paul chastised them for that. I'm a Paul, and I'm of Apollos. Well, they're Christians, and there should be impartiality. And so Paul reminds Timothy that he needs to be impartial. And then in chapter 6, verse 14, that you keep the commandments without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. And then, of course, we have that great familiar verse in verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, love, patience, and gentleness. So, before that he had talked about those that were looking out for themselves. They desired to be rich and so on. And he says, no, you can't do that. As a servant of God, you can't do that. You have to, flee those things and follow righteousness. Do what's right. And so... It's flee, follow, and fight. Follow righteousness and fight the good fight of faith. And here he reminds him of the importance of the commandments of God and knowing them and following them. And then finally, in verse 20, he says, O Timothy, guard what is committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and vain babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Again, a reminder to be careful of false teaching and feigned babblings and things that are just nonsense. He didn't have time for that. He needed to follow what was right. And he said, this is another thing here. There's some things in Timothy that he warned him about, people that left the faith, people that denied the faith. And like we read there, were about Hymenaeus and Alexander that blasphemed. So, but here he says to Timothy, guard with your life the things that have been put into your trust. And then look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. We read this already, I think. We read some of this, so it's just verse 8. Therefore, I do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling. So he's talking here about, told Timothy to be courage, have courage in spite of the situations that he found himself in, because of he was a believer and because he was preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God, where he would have opposition. And so he told him to be courageous. And that's always, and I remember that, when I think of courage, I always go back to Joshua. And God reminded him to be courageous when Joshua took over. Remember when Moses died, it says Moses died and the children of Israel were kind of left in shambles. And God picked Joshua and he said, you got to be courageous. And Joshua was. And so he reminds him about courage. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." This is a stewardship, and we often hear this. So when we go to men's conferences and so on, we hear this verse about what we heard from others, we need to pass on to younger men and others, that so that the message can be perpetuated. Commit these things to faithful men who will teach others also. And that's, I think that's one of the things that missionaries are trying to do today. Is first, when they went out into Africa and other places, they were there to bring the gospel message. But now, a great part of missionary service is teaching others how to preach the gospel, and teaching others how to teach the principles of the Word of God. Not so much doing it themselves, but teaching others to do it, so that they can teach young men in those countries that have come to know the Lord to be servants of the Lord. And so he says, be careful of your stewardship, the things that he's heard from many witnesses. And Timothy no doubt heard a lot from Paul and the others that were with him, Luke and Mark maybe, and others that traveled with him. And he says, these things are precious. You want to keep them and commit them to other people as well. Relate those things to other people so that they can teach others as well. So that's stewardship. And then in verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We talked about perseverance before. But here he says, Timothy, you're going to suffer. If you're a good Christian, you're going to suffer for it. And in those days, the early church, they did suffer. They suffered a great deal. And like I said before, Paul always realized that the sufferings that he went through were nothing to be compared with the glory that would be revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So any suffering that they went through was just temporary, and it was part of the cost of being a follower of the Lord Jesus and one that spoke well for the Lord. So Timothy was reminded that to endure hardness and be willing to go without things and suffer physically and maybe go without food like the soldiers do. And I guess I never had that experience, but you talk to people that were in World War II, and they suffered. They suffered a great deal. They sometimes went without food. They were in cold climates where they didn't have the proper clothing. They didn't have the right kind of boots, so they got had trouble with their feet, frostbite, and so on. And they suffered because they were soldiers with a job to do. And so he relates that to the Christian life, that Timothy, if you're a good soldier of the Lord, you're going to suffer for it. Not maybe in that way, but there were times when, you know, they would have trouble traveling and whatever. And so Timothy reminds him, Paul reminds Timothy to be willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus And so many, we've been talking recently so much about these Christians in Iran and other places where they're persecuted, not because they've done anything wrong, but just because they're Christians and they're telling others about the Lord and seeking to bring the gospel message to people in those countries. And not only Iran, but in Korea, North Korea, China, and some of the countries in Africa, where, well, we saw that, we did see that video in Nigeria, where the church was attacked, just not because of anything wrong, just because they were just a church of God, and the rebels attacked them, and many lost their lives. And so he reminds them that as a Christian, one that promoted the gospel, he would suffer for it. And then look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Continue in the things which you have learned. And the reason was because he knew they were right, because he knew who he heard them from. Knowing, he said, what you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And no doubt that started, as we said earlier, with his grandmother and his mother, and then as he traveled with the apostle, from Paul and others that were with him. And so Timothy had a good background, and he knew who was teaching him these things, and he knew they were right. And so Paul says to hold on to them, and if you want to be a live godly, you will suffer persecution. And then it says, talks about the time. Verse 13, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's the days that we live in. All this Islamic teaching and so on, that it's getting worse. There's more opposition to the things of God than there ever was, and it's more widespread. So, again, a reminder to Timothy to hold on to the things that he heard, knowing who he heard them from. And he had confidence that they knew what they were talking about, and they knew that they were right. And then chapter 3, I think we just read that. Yeah, verse 3, verse 14, continue in the things which you have learned. That's diligence. Be diligent in the things of God. And Paul certainly had confidence that Timothy would do that. He knew Timothy, and he knew that he would have, he had confidence in Timothy that he would do these things. And then finally, in chapter 4, Second Timothy chapter 4, and, well, I think we'll read, we start in verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. That's quite a charge. And for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But here's what he says to Timothy. That's those people, Timothy. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And then Paul goes on to say how he's ready to be poured out as an offering and how his life was near the end. And he says, I fought a good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. That's something Paul should be thankful for, that he went faithful to the end. You know, how many times we see people that go on well and then they fall by the wayside? And that's a danger that we all must be careful of, that we don't fall away from our faith. And he says to Timothy, you be watchful in these things and do the work of an evangelist. It doesn't say that Timothy was an evangelist, but he could do the work of an evangelist. He could tell others about the Lord Jesus and their need of a Savior. But Timothy, I think, was more of a teacher than he was a gospel preacher. But yet, part of his responsibility was to do the work of an evangelist, which is to tell others their need of a Savior. And so Paul reminds Timothy to be watchful and to be diligent. And he talks about some, and then maybe Timothy knew these people. He says in verse 10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, has departed for Thessalonica and Crescina, for Galatia, Titus, for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. And so, and then finally, Paul reminds him at his defense in verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So Paul encourages Timothy with these many things, to his behavior, his example, to be impartial, to guard the truth, to be courageous, his stewardship, and reminding him that along with that, he was going to suffer as a Christian. And he still said, in spite of that, be diligent. And finally, be watchful, be careful. Because there will be those that will try to trip him up. And there were. And Paul experienced that himself. There were those that started out with Paul, but they left him. One here for material gain, and others for other reasons. But Paul says, I'm alone. The only one I have with me now is Luke. And because the others had gone, slipped back to their old practices or whatever it was that took them away from the ministry that they're involved in. So trust that as we think of the example of Paul and Timothy, Timothy got good advice from the Apostle Paul, and he treated him like his own son. He called him his son in the faith, because no doubt Paul was instrumental in Timothy coming to know the Lord, or it may have been his mother and grandmother, but they were converted through the Apostle Paul. So Paul had a great interest in Timothy, and he recognized him as a young man that had great potential, and he didn't want that to go to waste. And so he gives him all this advice. And this was near the end of, the other thing was, it was near the end of Paul's life. He knew that his life was coming to an end, and he needed someone to carry on the ministry that he was involved in. And what better man was there than Timothy? And we see that if we look at the church at Ephesus, how Paul told Timothy he was leaving him at Ephesus to straighten out the things there. Even as a young man, he knew what was right, and he was able to correct the things that were wrong there at Ephesus and be a help to them. So we trust that this will be encouraging to us as we think of a young man that God used so mightily. And Paul reminded him not to be ashamed of his youth, not to let his youth be a hindrance to him, but to be faithful, and even as a young man to carry on that commitment that he had to the Lord. So may God help us to do that as well. Our Father, we come to you to give thanks again for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee for the example of Paul and Timothy. Timothy, a young man who Paul committed so much to and had such great faith in, and Timothy didn't disappoint him. And so we pray for young men today as we live in these difficult times, that they might be faithful to you and to the responsibility that is given to them to bring the gospel and to teach others the word of God. So we are thankful today that we have your word that reminds us again of God's faithfulness. It reminds us of faithful men that have gone on before that encourage us to go on for the Lord. So we're thankful for these things as we just commit ourselves to thee now. I ask thee to watch over us as we travel home. We pray for blessing on those that are watchful eye over those that will be traveling on over this holiday, Thanksgiving holiday. And we're thankful today that we have so much to be thankful for, mostly because we know the Lord as our Savior and we have the many precious promises that he's given to us in his word. So we give thanks in his name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.